Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a starting receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? It is about that time. The most entertaining 60 minutes of your day has now gotten underway right here live on WKAR AM 870. I am your host, Al Martin, on this March 6th, 2018. Happy Tuesday. We've got a fun show in store for all of you out there. I will address a few comments from you all, as many of you Spartan fans out there are still not over what happened this past weekend out in New York City at Madison Square Garden in the Big Ten tournament, as the Michigan Wolverines not only eliminated your beloved MSU men's basketball hoop team, but they went on to win now back-to-back tournament championships, Big Ten tournament championships, and many Spartan fans are still not over it. And, you know, we had a loaded show yesterday where we really dove into that topic, you know, what the loss means for the team moving forward, what led to the loss, why has Michigan been able to have Michigan State's number throughout this season, where should Michigan State be seeded, and that's actually a question I'm going to really expound upon, the seeding for Michigan State men's basketball, because we didn't get a chance to really dissect that question as much as I would have liked. So I'll start the show with that, but going back to what I'm, you know, the statement that I had about those comments that you all had yesterday, I'm going to read a few of the comments that you guys had on our Facebook page, because I think a few of them are important and a few of them bring up points that I think are valid when trying to figure out where this Michigan State men's basketball team is and where their head is moving forward, as we are just a few days now away from Selection Sunday. So we'll talk MSU men's basketball. We will also talk local boys and girls high school playoff action. Of course, girls basketball got underway with district action last week. Regionals will now get underway tonight. And yesterday marked the start of boys high school basketball district tournament action. And we're going to welcome to the show a man who is unbelievably busy around this time of the year, our dear friend Brian Calloway, lead prep sports writer for the Lansing State Journal. Brian was at DeWitt High School last night to witness a game between the East Lansing Trojans and the DeWitt Panthers, who, again, are hosting a district tournament this year. And there's a lot of chatter surrounded around what's happening with the Trojans right now because of what happened not too long ago, as now former, so weird to say former, but now former head coach of the Trojans, Steve Fenimore, he decided to step down after the argument that he had with the parent of a player, as well as East Lansing athletic director Tom Hunt. That led to a suspension, and that suspension eventually led to Coach Fenimore saying, I'm chucking up the deuces. I don't want to coach here anymore. So we'll talk with Brian about that story, about the chances of East Lansing going on without its fearless leader in Steve Fenimore and possibly winning a state championship this year, and he'll give us just an overall look at local boys and girls playoff action on the hardwood. So you don't want to miss that. And then on the back end of the show, I will address a topic I've been putting off for far too long. But the Detroit Pistons, the red, white, and royal blue. You all know how big of a Detroit Pistons fan I am, and they get another loss last night. Now, last night's made a lot more sense than some of the losses we've seen in this recent stretch of bad basketball from the Pistons, seeing as though they were playing the best basketball player on the planet and a team that may make another trip back to the NBA Finals in the Cleveland Cavaliers. But I will address what is going on with the Detroit Pistons. That, as well as, of course, inviting you all to be a part of the show. You know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can also chime in via social media at facebook.com/currentsports. Live stream up and running. Many of you commenting already below the live stream. And you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. But hey, you know what's next? Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, and we start with an update when it comes to local boys basketball district action. Can't believe it's already district, and there were many games that many games that already took place on Monday night pertaining to many of our local teams. A few scores to get to. Waverly topped Owosso 55-46. Okemos over Everett, 71-60. Fowlerville over Lansing Sexton, 78-67. Ionia over Lakewood, 72-50. Fulton over Ashley, 61-46, the final there. Bath over New Lothrop, 62-56. Alma over Big Rapids, 77-44, the final there. Lansing Catholic over Lansing Eastern in a close matchup. That was a fun game, 48-46. Parma Western over Eaton Rapids, 44-31. Chesning over Perry. That game went to overtime. An 8-point win for Chesning in the end, 58-50, the final there. Maple Valley over Potterville, 37-31. Pawamo Westphalia over Springport, 57-15. And Ithaca over Breckenridge, 45-26. Just some of the local action last night. And again, we'll be talking with Brian Calloway, lead prep sports writer for the Lansing State Journal, about the district that he attended last night at DeWitt High School as the DeWitt boys basketball team fell to East Lansing, 53-27. All right, Michigan, as we all know by now, won 4 games in 4 days in the Big Ten men's basketball tournament out in NYC, including back-to-back wins now over Michigan State, and then going on to beat Purdue on Sunday. The Wolverines jumped to number 7 overall in this week's Associated Press Top 25 in USA Today Coaches Poll. The Wolverines closed Sunday ranked 13th in RPI, 2 spots ahead of rival MSU. The Spartans dropped 2 spots, sitting at 29-4. The Spartans are now number 4 in the Associated Press poll and 3 spots to number 5 in the USA Today coaches poll after falling to the Wolverines in the Big Ten semifinals on Saturday. How does your top 10 look according to the Associated Press? Well, number 1, Virginia, 2, Villanova, 3, Xavier, 4, Michigan State, 5, Duke, 6, Gonzaga, 7, Michigan, 8, Cincinnati, 9, Kansas, and 10, Purdue. We'll have more on the rankings for Michigan State and Michigan, and we'll talk seeding and where Michigan and Michigan State will be seeded come this Sunday evening during the selection show. All right, one win is all Oakland could muster in the Men's Basketball Horizon League tournament. Despite expectations of a tournament championship, the number 4-seeded Grizzlies were upset by number 8 Cleveland State, 44-43, in last night's semifinal at Little Caesars Arena. Oakland, which beat IUPUI in the quarterfinals for its first tournament win since 2014, led a 12-point first-half lead slip away. And the opportunistic Vikings, who upended number 1 Northern Kentucky in the quarterfinals, took advantage to keep their NCAA tournament hopes alive. Jalen Hayes, the local product, he finished with 20 points, 11 boards for the Golden Grizzlies, while Nunn for Cleveland State scored 19 on 7 of 24 shooting from the field. All right, the Detroit Pistons, LeBron James scored 31 points before taking a seat on the bench. Larry Nance Jr. reached career highs with 22 points, 15 boards in his first start for Cleveland, and the Cavaliers closed a disappointing 5-game homestand with a positive note. 112-90 win over the Detroit Pistons, who haven't won on the road in nearly 2 months. Blake Griffin scored 25 points to lead Detroit, which has lost 9 straight away from home. The Pistons haven't won on the road since January 10th. Andre Drummond scored 15 but didn't reach double-digit rebounds for the first time in 19 games. The Pistons will play host to the Toronto Raptors tomorrow night. The Detroit Tigers lost to the New York Mets 4-2. Mike Fiers made his second start of the spring, allowed 2 runs, but was solid. Five Tigers regulars started against Mets righty Matt Harvey and recorded 1 hit. Jose Iglesias singled. Derek Norris went 2-for-2. The Tigers totaled 8 hits. There were no injuries. Next, the Tigers will play the New York Yankees out in Lakeland, Florida, as spring training continues, and that game has just gotten underway. The Detroit Red Wings will take on the Boston Bruins on the road at 7 p.m. tonight at TD Garden in Boston. You can catch that game on NBC Sports Network. The Wings have lost 3 straight, finished this 5-game road trip in Boston, and they will play Vegas at home on Thursday and then head west for another 5-game road trip. The Bruins have won the previous 3 games in the season series versus the Winged Wheel. The Pittsburgh Steelers have informed former Michigan State running back great Le'Veon Bell that they will apply the franchise tag to him for the second consecutive year in the absence of an unlikely deal by today's deadline. This is what Bell told ESPN. Now, the Steelers have increased last year's long-term contract offer, but Bell has adjusted his contractual floor to $14.5 million per year to align with his running back tag. He won't play for a contract that averages less annually, he said. Quote, "We are not coming to a number we both agree on. They are too low, or I guess they feel I'm too high. I'm playing for strictly my value to the team. That's what I'm asking. I don't think I should settle for anything less than what I'm valued at." End quote. Again, that's coming from Le'Veon Bell. He wants to be paid more. The Steelers are saying, So it looks like Bell will be franchise tagged for another season. And Bell has also even said that he would contemplate retirement if the Steelers and himself do not come to a long-term deal. So we'll see how likely that becomes, I guess, after next season. All right, and James Pitaro is the new president of the mothership, ESPN, and the co-chair of Disney Media Networks. The company made that announcement yesterday. Now, Pitaro has been the chairman of Disney Consumer Products and Interactive Media since 2016. He was formerly a vice president and head of Yahoo Media, including leading Yahoo Sports. His appointment is effective immediately. Among the first orders of business for Pitaro is the launch of ESPN Plus, the network's direct-to-consumer subscription streaming service, which debuts this spring. ESPN Plus will be a part of the ESPN app,
which will house all of the company's digital offerings, including news, scores, highlights, and authenticated streams of ESPN's domestic U.S. networks. ESPN Plus will cost $5 a month. So less than the Netflix subscription, I guess, right? All right, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's keep it pushing.
Oscar goes to, don't say La La Land, don't say La La Land.
Dear Basketball, Glenn Key and Kobe!
This is the first Oscar and nomination for Glenn Key and Kobe Bryant.
I don't know if it's possible. I mean, as basketball players, we're really supposed to shut up and dribble, but I'm glad we do a little bit more than that. Thank you, Academy, for this amazing honor. Thank you, John Williams, for such a wonderful piece of music. Thank you, Verizon, for believing in the film. Thank you, Molly Carter. Without you, we wouldn't be here. And to my wife, Vanessa, our daughters, Natalia, Gianna, and Bianca, ti amo con tutto il mio cuore. You are my inspiration. Thank you so much, guys. Thank you.
That's one of my favorite old school joints right there. Earth, Wind, and Fire coming at you on this Tuesday afternoon. It is March 6, 2018. I really hope you guys are having a fantastic start to your week. Crossing off those goals, going after your dreams. I'm all for it, folks. Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports Live here on WKAR AM 870. I'm the man behind the mic, Al Martin, and what you just heard intermixed with this very funky beat from Earth, Wind, and Fire was a moment that occurred out in L.A. on Sunday at the 90th Annual Academy Awards. Kobe Bean Bryant can now add to that trophy case, which dons 5 NBA championships. He now can add to that trophy case an Oscar. Congratulations, Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant, my goodness. I mean, he just keeps on pushing the boundaries of greatness, doesn't he? Wow. You know, when you look at legends like Kobe Bryant, Kobe, who has been a staple in the world of basketball for a long time and still continues to be that to this day, you know, you always wonder when they do decide to hang up the sneaks and call it a career, what in the world are they going to do now? That's the big question. You know, that's the big question that we had when it came to players like Michael Jordan and Magic Johnson and Larry Bird, some of the greats to ever do it. I mean, what do you do now when basketball has become your life and you have excelled in it, become one of the best to ever do it? And that competitive drive that fueled you to become great within the sport, I mean, where does that competitiveness go now? Where do you channel it to? And for Kobe, he has now channeled it into Hollywood, writing his own television series He's got a lot of projects in the works when it comes to film, and he obsesses over it, just like he obsessed over the game of basketball, waking up at like 4 or 5 a.m., hitting the weight room, getting shots up, going to practice, then hitting the weight room again. He was driven. He was driven. And now, you know, from what I've been reading about Kobe, he's the same way now. I mean, he will go to sleep with an idea on his mind and then wake up in the middle of the night and then go to his office and just start writing down ideas and writing down script. And he wants to become great at this thing. And now, already in the preliminary stages of his film career, he has already reached the mountaintop of film by winning an Oscar for his writing of Dear Basketball in The Undefeated. Dear Basketball was a poem that he put together to say goodbye to the game on the, you know, as his retirement loomed, right? And it's really good. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but yeah, and as Kobe said in his speech, I mean, he linked up with the great John Williams, who worked on one of my favorite films of all time that I grew up on, films like Jurassic Park. So absolutely amazing. Congratulations to Kobe. And, you know, I couldn't help but think, too, you know, and you know, when I was watching this point, when I was watching, and I rarely do this, but I was watching Fox Sports' Undefeated with Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp, and I rarely watch the show, but it just happened to be on my television yesterday. And they brought up a conversation that has certainly crossed my mind a time or two when looking at just how Kobe Bryant has just totally shifted the conversation surrounding his legacy, surrounding his greatness, surrounding his overall perception. Because if you remember back in 2003, I mean, I was 13 years old when this happened. July of 2003 is when news media reported that Kobe Bryant was wanted in connection with an investigation of a sexual assault complaint filed by a 19-year-old hotel employee out in Edwards, Colorado. And eventually the case was dropped after Bryant's accuser refused to testify in the case. A separate civil suit was later filed against Bryant by the woman. This was settled out of court and also included Kobe publicly apologizing to his accuser, though admitted no guilt on his part. But we remember also the press conference. I mean, as he did this, sitting next to him in tears was his wife, Vanessa. And that was such a rough time for Kobe, because our perception shifted of him being this great basketball player and incredible ambassador for the NBA to, hold on, dude, what happened out in Colorado? What's going on? And it got so bad. I mean, when Kobe would, you know, when he returned to basketball and tried to, you know, move on from it, fans, he was not a fan favorite. Let's just put it that way. I mean, I remember fans yelling out, you know, rapist whenever he would have the basketball. And I don't know if you guys have seen the Showtime documentary that was produced by Kobe. And it's so good. I've seen it about three times, and it's one of my favorite sports docs. But Kobe opens up about that moment, and he begins to be moved to tears discussing what happened in that moment and how he almost lost everything, how he almost lost his wife, how he almost lost his kids. And he begged his wife, please forgive me. You know, I'm going to be a better man. And he channeled all of that negative energy, all of the negative press, all of the criticism from the fans. He channeled that into the game of basketball. And if you remember, after 2003, Kobe, like, took his game to another level. It was unlike anything we've seen since Michael Jordan. I mean, the dude was consistently throwing up 30, 40-point games on the regular. It was amazing. And basketball became his safe haven, and he went out there and really elevated himself. But it's amazing, because now Kobe at the Oscars, he receives an Oscar for Dear Basketball on a night and a time in Hollywood where we have the Time's Up campaign in full effect, where so many brave women and men, for that matter, have come forth and said, I have been treated wrongly by some big names on the Hollywood scene, like Mr. Harvey Weinstein, like Kevin Spacey. I mean, I could go on and on and on. And Kobe, a man who was once involved in something very unnerving back in 2003, receiving an Oscar on a night like that. Life is something else, isn't it? But congratulations to Kobe. It's been remarkable how he has changed around his life, and I'm happy for the dude, and I'm excited to see what's on the horizon for him. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Before we bring on Brian Callaway of the Lansing State Journal, I want to get to a few comments that a few of you Spartan fans out there left on our Facebook page live stream during yesterday's Current Sports, because I think these comments are important, and a few of you bring up some interesting points. Now, as we all know, Michigan State was eliminated in the Big Ten tournament semifinal round against in-state rival Michigan. And for those that tuned in yesterday, you guys know how I feel about this team right now. I am not confident that they can make a deep run come tourney time because there are way too many inconsistencies due to, in my opinion, the youth of this squad. And there really is not one component that you can look at this team and say, okay, they may do this, that, and this wrong, but you know what you can depend on every night they play? Fill in the blank. I can't think of one thing. I really can't. There are just way too many question marks for me to make a confident pick or a confident statement that Michigan State is going to go, quote unquote, all the way this year. A few of your comments, though. Vincent said, quote, we have the same type of team on both sides of the ball, except we just don't have the leadership nor the tenacity that's needed. If we play with any emotion or any fire, there's no one that can beat us. Vincent brings up an interesting point that I wanted to elaborate on tomorrow, on yesterday's show, I should say. That being the lack of leadership that I perceive on this team. Now, don't get me wrong. Lou Rawls Tum Tum Nairn Jr., he is the guy you look at in terms of leadership for Michigan State men's basketball. He's a senior. He's the guard. He is a guard, I should say, for the team. And every time you talk about leadership with Michigan State, Tom's name is the first name that comes up. But this is the thing I've always believed and I've always said. It is so tough to be a leader if you are not a regular contributor on the hardwood. And what I mean by regular contributor, I'm talking about a guy who can go out there and score, a guy who can go out there and lead with his play. Tom, let's be real here. When Tom is in the game, he is primarily just a facilitator. He is primarily just a game manager. Sure, he plays great defense, but he hasn't been doing that as of late. So it's so tough to lead if you're not going out there and getting buckets. It's just how it is. It's just how it is. If you're coming off the bench, it's really tough to lead. Now, if you're coming off the bench and giving consistent, you know, stat lines that allude to at least give me 8 to 10 points, that's different. But Tom is a game manager. It is so tough to lead if you're not going out there and producing on the basketball court. So there is no clear-cut leader when it comes to getting in the face of certain players when things are going awry and saying this is what we need to do right, but also that player going out there and producing. When it comes to points, when it comes to rebounds, assists, it's just tough. So right now, there is no, and that's the thing about Miles. I mean, Miles is just such a good kid. He's such a good player, but he's not a leader like a Denzel Valentine. I mean, how many times do we see Denzel Valentine or Draymond Green or Mateen Cleaves, cats who are giving you buckets, but were leaders in terms of letting players know and holding players accountable when things weren't going right. Michigan State does not have that kind of player who can give you buckets and also lead and say, get behind me, or hold players accountable and get in players' faces. They don't have that Valentine or that Cleaves or Green. It just doesn't exist on this team. Steven says Tom has to be our leader during tournament time. But again, I refer to what I just stated. Ben says, quote, it's up to the MSU men's basketball team to get the job done now. The women's basketball season is probably over after losing in four overtimes to Indiana. And then the hockey team season ended on Saturday in Columbus to Ohio State in overtime. We need something to celebrate to get our minds off of all of the media crap. And I think that is a mindset that I feel like a lot of Spartans have. That comment from Ben right there. So much has happened this year in the world of Michigan State sports, and this ESPN story has riddled the team with so much controversy that you are looking for success in one of the best teams in college basketball. You are looking for that success to reveal itself as a sort of a Band-Aid for the wounds that have been open in these past few weeks. If Michigan State wins a national championship, you can say, man, it was a trying year, but at least we got this championship, right? And to Tom Izzo's credit, to the MSU men's basketball team's credit, the way that they have played in light of this storm has been pretty remarkable. That's something you can't ignore. But, Ben, I feel like a lot of Spartan fans agree with you with that statement. You are hoping that Michigan State men's hoops gives you something to cheer about, because it's been really hard to cheer for anything that's happened here in East Lansing recently. Vic says, I'm still looking for the team that beat UNC by 20 points. We don't even slap the floor in unison. That was one of my favorite comments. We don't even slap the floor in unison. He also asked, why is Tillman and Schilling playing so much? Tom Izzo has been disappointing as a coach this year. I'll say this. Tom Izzo, Hall of Fame coach. Love him. But there have been a few moves that I elaborated on yesterday that have puzzled me when it comes to Coach Izzo. I didn't like how he pulled Miles Bridges after Miles finally gets into a groove after struggling to start the game. He nails this last-second shot clock buzzer-beating three at the top, and then he gets taken out of the game. I didn't understand that. When it comes to Tillman and Schilling, though, I mean, Xavier Tillman is giving you good minutes coming off that bench. He is playing great defense. We saw him a few times able to find the bottom of the basket as well. I like the energy that Xavier Tillman is bringing off the bench. And same thing with Schilling. I mean, Schilling is a pretty good defender, even though he's not looked at as a scorer. But, you know, the reason why we saw Tillman and Schilling play so much is because Nick Ward couldn't handle Mo Wagner on Saturday. He couldn't handle Mo Wagner on January 13th either. So that's why. And then final comment I'll get to before we hit this first break. Justin says we needed it. Justin, as I mentioned on yesterday's show, was our listener who said, hey, maybe we need a loss to wake us up right now because, you know, the close wins against some of the bottom feeders of the Big Ten is a bit troubling. And I agreed with that part. I don't know if they needed a loss to wake them up. We'll see, though. Maybe this motivates Michigan State because now for a week you have to read and listen about how great the Wolverines are and how bad you are. Maybe this is the needed chip on the shoulder that the Spartans need. Who knows? Only time will tell here, right? But again, to piggyback off yesterday one more time, the argument that this team, you know, had the best start in program history, won the Big Ten regular season championship, and will be okay. Again, I say, who did they play? Who did they beat in what was a down year for the conference? Michigan State has only had, dating back to November, two wins on the road against surefire NCAA tournament teams. They haven't been really tested this year. And now you enter a tournament where every team is just about good, right? Every team has earned its way. 60-plus teams have earned their way to the big dance. The lollipops are gone now. But I also asked this question. Is Michigan State dealing with an identity crisis? Something I've also thought about. Who is this team? What is the identity of this MSU men's basketball team? Because I just don't know right now. Can this young team handle the expectation? That was what Tom Izzo wanted to know earlier this season when they were ranked numero uno in the nation. Can this team handle it? Because they're so young. A lot of question marks, folks. A lot of question marks. Let's hit our first break. We'll take your calls, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. And when we return, we will also invite our guest for today's Current Sports, Brian Callaway, lead prep sports writer of the Lansing State Journal. Oh, man, that's a classic right there. Shout out to my man behind the glass for this week, Karell Vega, WKAR host of All Things Considered. He's filling in for Ian Hawley, who is on spring break. Ian, of course, is a student here at Michigan State University, and the entire student body here at MSU is on spring break for the week. So much thanks to Karell. But Karell, hot joint, dude. It's like old school day on this this Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I led it with Earth, Wind, and Fire. And you told me the name of the artist who produced that track. And I'm usually pretty good at knowing artists, but who is that?
Roy Ayers.
That's good stuff.
There you go, yeah.
That's good. And that joint has been remixed a lot by various hip-hop artists.
Tons of artists.
A lot of hip-hop artists, though, including the great Dr. Dre.
Absolutely, so, which is actually what got me into, you know, the old-school R&B, folk, neo soul, stuff like that, was actually just, you know, listening to hip hop and being like, you know, I want to listen to the song behind the song.
Exactly.
And I ended up, I found that I started liking the old stuff better.
Telling you, man, preach on, dude. I mean, it's the old school stuff, it's real music. Today, everything is so, you know, everything's got to be timed perfectly because we're using computers now. Nobody uses real instruments to record anymore, right?
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah. Dig it, though. That's good stuff. All right.
Thank you.
517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call if you would like to be a part of the final 20 minutes of WKAR's Current Sports. But right now, I want to get to our guest for today's show. His name is Brian Callaway, lead prep sports writer for the Lansing State Journal. As you can imagine, he is a very busy man around this time of the year, covering the boys and girls postseason action in local high school hoops. Brian, how you doing, my man? Are you getting much sleep?
Doing all right, and yeah, trying to get as much sleep as possible, but this time of year, you don't really get much of it. So
that is very true. How do you balance? I mean, how do you balance the coverage around this time of the year, Brian? Because, you know, I know it's not just you, but I mean, you're everywhere just about every day of the 5-day week here when it comes to local high school hoops. I mean, how many reporters are helping you with this process?
Yeah, you know, it is, you know, the past couple of weeks I've kind of been out at a gym somewhere around the area or following an area team each day of the week. And, you know, I have a stringer that helps us out at the LSJ from time to time as well, too. And, you know, we also have people in the office taking scores as well, too. But it's kind of an all-hands-on-deck thing as we they'll try to, get everything covered.
Yeah, definitely. And I love the Preps Extra that you guys put out over this this past weekend. It certainly helps me tremendously when I'm trying to do my job and vocalize what is happening in the local high school sporting scene. I want to start right now, though, Brian, with the DeWitt District and Boys Hoops. I believe you were there last night, right, Brian?
Yes, I was.
East Lansing picked up a 53-27 win over the Panthers. And now, you know, the Trojans are being led by Kevin Mays, the freshman coach for the East Lansing boys basketball team. Now, before we talk about the game, before we dive into the game, Brian, this is a hot topic around the area as it pertains to now former East Lansing head boys basketball coach Steve Finnemore stepping down. Brian, when did you find out about Steve deciding to step down and no longer coach his team right on the brink of the postseason?
Yeah, I found out last Monday morning. So about, almost a little bit over a week ago is when I found out. And I found out prior to that, about almost a week and a half ago, nearly 2 weeks ago, that he was suspended for that game against Okemos. They ended up deciding to see the boys see Blue Tide, though. So, yeah, I mean, it kind of all went down over a span of, you know, a couple of days there where, hey, he was suspended, you know, didn't get to coach East Lansing in the game. They ended up losing to Okemos for the CAAC Blue title. And then a couple of days after that, you know, he had tendered his resignation and decided he wasn't going to, you know, be coaching the team the rest of the season.
And, Brian, for those who have been living under a rock and don't know what allegedly happened before the final week of the regular season, after that win for the Trojans against Lansing Eastern, what happened after that game?
Yeah, you know, Coach Steve Finnemore was confronted by a parent following the game, and, you know, the parent was a little bit upset about some playing time concerns for his son, and, you know, him and Coach Steve Finnemore got into it in the hallway following the game, and then, you know, later Coach Finnemore got into it with the athletic director and had an argument with him about it as well, too. And that kind of led to his suspension. And then later on, you know, ended up leading to you know, Coach Finnemore deciding to resign.
Have you talked with Steve since the resignation? And if so, why did he decide to step down? Because from what I saw that was reported, I saw an interview with Steve with WLNS TV 6, and you know, Steve said, you know, he doesn't know how long the suspension is going to be, but him stepping away, I just didn't see that coming. Did Steve give a reason why? Have you talked to him about that at all?
I have talked to him, but I, you know, he hasn't been able to comment on the record about, you know, a reason for, you know, him stepping down, and said, you know, couldn't comment in that point in time. But
right,
you know, just, you know, sounds like, you know, obviously, you know, going back to the issue he had with the parent, he just kind of, you know, said that, you know, this guy, you know, maybe had, you know, been confronted him about playing time before, and he just kind of, you know, had enough. And that kind of led to the argument that he did have following that game over Eastern. But, no, I mean, he hasn't really shed any light just exactly, you know, what went into the decision and if it was anything more than just the issue and the argument that he had with the parent that week.
Right, certainly. Again, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Brian Callaway, lead prep sports writer for the Lansing State Journal. Kevin Mays is now the guy, freshman coach, now being moved up now to man the ship as East Lansing makes this possible state championship run. What led to Kevin Mays being pegged as the man to move up and take over, Brian?
You know, I've never gotten a clear answer on that. He's a guy that has, you know, been around this East Lansing basketball program for a while, and he's kind of the head of the youth program, has a lot of experience in the sport as well, too. So he's a very knowledgeable guy. So I think that maybe had part of the reason to do with it. But, you know, yeah, the one thing you wondered is if any of his varsity assistants would take over or whatnot for the rest of the season or even that game that he was suspended for. But, you know, Kevin Mays was appointed to be the guy. And, you know, he's, you know, kind of trying to do his best to kind of navigate this team through an adverse situation, obviously, you know, when you they'll kind of lose the voice that's been leading you for a good portion of the season, late in the season, and then obviously have to change gears. But, you know, obviously he got this team to win the final two regular season games and rebound from that Ole Miss loss. And then he got his team last night to, navigate kind of a sluggish first half to get past the win and move on in the district tournament.
Yeah, it's off to a pretty good start. I mean, you get that that district opening win over DeWitt at DeWitt High School, a 53-27 win over the Panthers. What did you see last night to kind of just briefly provide a summary from DeWitt High School last night, Brian?
Well, it was just a really defensive struggle in the first half. I mean, the school was 5-3 after the opening quarter and 13-11 at the half. So it was a really struggle. Baskets were hard to come by in the early stages of the game, but East Lansing really picked things up in the second half and outscored DeWitt 42-12 or something, or 42-14 in the second half to really pull away for a win. And this is the second time in a week that East Lansing has had a very sluggish start. I mean, last week against Lansing Catholic was kind of a similar situation before they really turned things on in the second half. So, I mean, that's kind of how they took control of that game and then earned a spot opportunity to face St. John's in the semifinal on Wednesday.
Yeah, certainly. And we also saw, Waverly in Owosso in that DeWitt district 55-46 win in relation to Waverly there. Waverly moves on. Grand Ledge would take on Waverly at 6 p.m. And then, as you just mentioned, St. John's against East Lansing at 7:30 tomorrow. Brian, which district out of our local districts here and our local teams, I should say, which district really intrigues you the most?
Well, I think the DeWitt district is intriguing because you could have, Grand Ledge, East Lansing final. And obviously, these are Grand Ledge was the team that ended East Lansing's 45-game regular season winning streak in early January. And then they played an overtime game with each other just last month as well, too, in Grand Ledge that East Lansing was able to win. So I think that could be a very intriguing district final. And I think, Williamson and Hazlitt are able to take care of business. I mean, that could set up an intriguing district final at Lansing Eastern at the Don Jackson Fieldhouse there because both Williamson and Hazlitt were league championship teams there. So that's interesting. And then, Class C, Dansville and Bath on the boys' side had the potential to meet in a district final as well, too. And obviously, for people who don't know about Dansville, I mean, they have a guy, 6'10", Caleb Hodgson. He's getting some D1 interest from, some MAC level schools and other mid-major type programs as well, too. And he's, one of the top scorers and rebounders in the Lansing area as well, too. So that is, something that could be an intriguing, district final as well, too.
Brian, if you had to choose a few teams that could possibly make a real deep run and hoist up a state championship, which local teams have the best chance in doing so?
I think when you look at it on the boys' side, for sure, Williamson is a program that's made deep run each of the past 2 years under Coach Tom Lewis. And, I think that, they have the guard play, too. And obviously, this time of year, guards kind of run the show and kind of dictate things. And, they have the senior veteran guard and Cole Cliver. So I think they're a team that definitely could make some noise in Class B. I'll be interested to see in Class A if East Lansing's able to get through their district and get back to the regional. I mean, this is a team that's got into the regional final two straight years and come up just short. So it'll be interesting to see if they can make it through. But obviously, when you have a guy like Brandon Johns, the Michigan signee on your roster, I mean, they're always going to be a threat to win some games there.
Yeah, certainly. Do you think Johns is the best player in the area, Brian?
Yeah, he's a guy, obviously a Mr. Basketball finalist as well, too. And
right.
He has the leading scorer. And, I mean, he just had a very special career at East Lansing there. He's, scored, close to 1,700 career points. And just with the things that he's done and what he's meant to that program and the success that they've had, especially his last 3 years of high school, I mean, he's kind of cemented himself as, one of the better players to come out of this area in a while. Or, just in the – obviously not in a while because, we've had guys like Denzel Valentine and, LaDante Hinton and other guys that have been very good in this area as well, too. But, I mean, he's definitely, always kind of been on that track as, one of those top 100 guys in the nation for a while.
All right, Brian, this may be a tough question for you. I don't think I've ever asked you this question when we're previewing – the postseason action for boys and girls high school hoops or even high school football for that matter. But from a journalistic perspective, I mean, there are so many stories that are intriguing for various reasons. But I want to ask you, I mean, what do you think, and you can even choose a few here, but what do you think is or are the best just stories of the local high school sporting scene, both girls and boys basketball?
The best stories right now?
Yeah, the best stories. It could be an emotional story. It could be just one based off success on the basketball court or even away from it.
Okay. Well, I actually saw, last week over at Hazard, I actually saw a pretty cool story, with a girls' basketball district semifinal where Lanking Sexton had an exchange student from Germany and hadn't scored a point all season. And it was kind of a cool one of those – those cool sportsmanship moments that you see when, kind of a team like Fowlerville in this instance, agreed that to let this girl, shoot as many times as she needed to, because Sexton wanted to make sure this girl was able to get a couple baskets, this season, and she hadn't scored all season. So that was one of those cool stories that kind of unfolded, just to kind of see the sportsmanship unfold and see things like that. Because obviously, high school sports, sportsmanship and, kind of those life lessons that you learn playing the sports, those are kind of those very cool things that kind of come in with the territory of that. So that was pretty cool. And obviously, there's so many good success stories on the high school hoop side as well, too. When you look at a team like Kwama Westphalia, having another successful year. They were a state runner-up last year, had a 20-0 regular season this year, and the state top-ranked team, according to the Associated Press poll. So that's been pretty cool. East Lansing's girls' basketball team has been pretty cool, just with a second perfect regular season in school history this year, and with the success that they've been able to have this year as well, too. That's they've been kind of a fun group to watch with the talent that they have. So, those have been some cool things on the girls' basketball side. And, Oakwood Elsie is a team on the boys' side, hadn't won a league title since 1984 and won a league title this year. So, that was pretty impressive. And Hazlitt hadn't won a league title in more than a decade, and they won an outright league championship this year as well, too. So,
yeah.
And those are kind of some kind of cool things that maybe unfolded on the basketball court this season in the Lansing area.
Certainly. There are so many, Brian. And real briefly, I know that tonight will tip off girls basketball regional action. Where will you be at tonight, and what are a few games that our listeners should really keep an eye on?
Yeah, I'm actually headed to Kalamazoo tonight to watch Okemos and face Coldwater and East Lansing. Face of Kalamazoo Central. And I think, East Lansing, Kalamazoo Central, it's going to be an interesting game because East Lansing was actually knocked out of the tournament by Kalamazoo Central last year. And both of these teams were league championship teams as well, too. So I think that's going to be a fun game to watch, and that's kind of the second game of a doubleheader there. And then, obviously, Okemos is playing a state-ranked team in Coldwater, which is ranked number 6 in Class A. So I think both of those games in Kalamazoo are going to be pretty good games. And then there's a cool local game that's taking place in Grand Rapids with the Palomba Westphalia facing Waynesburg for the third time this season. And both of those teams were the two top teams in the CMAC. So I think those two games those three games that I mentioned are going to be very interesting ones that will take place tonight.
Oh, that's great stuff. I know, Brian, around this time of the year, man, you probably go to bed hearing, sneakers squeaking and basketballs dribbling in your head, man. So try and get some rest. And hey, we appreciate your hard work, brother. Love reading it.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me. I appreciate that.
My man, Brian Callaway. Again, you can read his work at the Lansing State Journal at LSJ.com. And of course, hey, subscribe and get a subscription. Get it, Rarely do we corral nowadays, get the paper at our homes anymore.
Absolutely, yeah. It's so rare.
I'm so old school that I like having and our listeners probably see it all the time when I'm on our Facebook live stream. I love having a physical paper in my hand, just like when I'm reading a book. I can't like the... What do you call those things? The audio books? The nooks that you can read on your iPad. I'm old school, man. Give me something with some paper that I can really scratch notes on and everything, dude.
There's just something about having a physical copy of something that you can hold on to. The power goes out. You ran out of batteries. That's not going to happen with a paper,
Not at all, brother, okay? So, yeah, subscribe. Get the paper, all right? Get the Lansing State Journal. It's a great one. I read it every single week. Much thanks to Brian Callaway. A brief second break here, and we'll come back and put a bow on this Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, we have about 2 minutes left in this Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. We just finished up a chat with Brian Callaway, lead prep sports writer for the Lansing State Journal. Brian doing an outstanding job, as he always is, at the Lansing State Journal, covering the local high school sporting scene. It's hoops postseason time for many of our local area teams. Girls regionals getting underway tonight. You can follow Brian as well at Brian Callaway. At Brian_Callaway via Twitter. Again, it's at Brian_Callaway. Real briefly to close out the show, many of you are asking about the seeding for Michigan State and Michigan as we approach Selection Sunday. Jerry Palm of CBS Sports and Joe Lunardi of ESPN each had MSU remaining as a number two seed playing in Detroit. Now, after the loss to Michigan, Lunardi actually has MSU as a three seed in Nashville playing UNC Greensboro. He has Michigan also listed as a three seed playing in Wichita against Bucknell. Now, the latest bracketology projections for Jerry Palm have MSU listed as a two seed playing in Detroit at Little Caesars Arena against UC Davis, and Michigan as a four seed playing in San Diego against Louisiana. Do I agree with that? Well, tune in tomorrow and find out. Until then, we are on a 23-hour break. Much thanks again to Brian Callaway of the Lansing State Journal, Karell Vega, the man behind the glass, and of course you, the listener. We'll be back at it same time, same place tomorrow. Be easy, people.